Okay, ladies, will y'all grab a... I'm so happy about this. Okay, will y'all grab... I don't know. People are picky about colors. Will one of y'all pass these around? Oh, thank you. Well, my ring got stolen, so this is a replacement. One or two. Just, I mean, let's be generous. One or two. Okay, so I've got a question for y'all. We've been prayed over, but I think I'll pray us up again just because, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these ladies and just their eagerness. I am so encouraged on Nest Day when moms show up because they want to know more about you. And that warms my heart, Lord, because I see your faithfulness every day in my life, and I want them to see that too. So thank you for each one of these ladies, and let's just have some fun this morning. In your precious name we pray, amen. So ladies, I hope I have enough handouts. If I don't have enough handouts, we will get some more. I want to ask y'all something. You're going to get a little note card, and I want you to be thinking of what, when I say the words, I want to see what triggers in your brain. When I say the words, the happiest place on earth, the place where dreams come true, or the most magical place on earth, what do you think of?
Disney.
Hey, that's where my husband and I went on our honeymoon. That's just exactly where you want to go when you get married, to Disney World, but that's where we went. And we've had Disney World in our house since then, just having fun. But I would tell you, I want to see what would you, if you could define, wouldn't that be awesome if the American Christian home had a tagline and they said, oh, the most godly place on earth. Oh, that's the Smiths. I've been there before. Or what would you, I want y'all to write something at the top of this. Just the first thing that comes to your mind, that when your kids leave your home, what do you want them to think of? Just right, I mean, let's not just right off the top of your head. Don't give it much thought. And hopefully if you don't have something, you'll come up with something while we're here. Did we have enough handouts, Ellie? Okay, great. Thank you so much. So if anybody comes in and needs a handout or you want an extra for something or, you know. So I want to tell y'all a little bit because I started, you know, at the Super Bowl when they say, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to Disney World. You know, the MVP. I started thinking about what makes Disney so special? What makes people want to go back there? So I started to do a little digging, and these are the things that I found out that make Disney stand out. The first thing was the cast members. Every single employee there is considered a cast member. I don't care if you're sweeping up trash or if you're the princess. I don't care what, if you're behind in the retail store and you're checking out people, you are important. You are a cast member. And it is really a lifestyle and a commitment. And that's what makes them so compelling and interesting, is because everybody has a part. And I started thinking about that just in Bible study as we're studying 1 Corinthians, all the members in the body. We're all cast members. We're all important. Whether you're talking from a stage or just walking through the halls here, we're all important. And in our homes, it's the same way. It's all about the package and the ambiance that makes it special. The bigger picture, they see the bigger picture. And I think this is probably one of the most important things. It evolves. It tweaks. I think when we have something, when Disney, they know they're going to make mistakes and they're not afraid of that. They make their mistakes. They listen to the people that mean the most to them, and then they tweak it and make it better. And so that's what we want to do. They respond. So we're going to throw a lot of spaghetti against the refrigerator door, and some of it's going to stick and some of it's not. And we just need to be knowing that our homes, we've got to let them evolve. And the last thing they said about Disney was there's a little bit of pixie dust and a lot of magic. Okay, so I really dug into Walt Disney to see what his secret was. Because it all started with a mouse and a vision. And so here's a quote from Walt Disney himself. It said, Walt himself has explained his formula for having leadership vision as starting with one simple stepping stone. I dream. And then he continues on by saying, I test my dreams against my beliefs. Guys, if we don't dream or desire to have a vision for something better for ourselves or others, then what is it that makes us get out of bed every morning? What really spurs us on to get out there? And in this case, Walt Disney was making sure his dreams were consistent with everything he stood for, his beliefs, his core values, and his integrity. So today, guys, I want to look at what the Lord says about our homes. What does He desire for our homes? When we have community group at my friend Jill Moore's, up on her mantle, it says, "I love this place." And her son gave that to her about 2 or 3 years ago. So we want that for our homes. So what does the Lord say? One of my favorite verses, and if you came and listened about relationally, the sibling harmony, one of my favorite verses right now is, I've just really been diving into Proverbs 14:1. A wise woman builds her house. When you look at everybody, cup your hands like this. In your hands, you have the opportunity to build a house. And I will tell you, I'm almost 57 in 2 days, or a couple days, 2 days. And I will tell you that a wise woman builds a house. The things that I'm most proud of are the things I've worked the hardest for. So if you're expecting motherhood and being a wife to be easy, then you are not going to see, you're not going to feel the real joy of seeing what the Lord will do in our lives either. So I think another verse, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises for her. Man, put your name in that. Blessed, Lord, am I, because I believe that what you say, guys, if you can just picture this. I don't call this my Bible anymore. I mean, I do on occasions, but what I really see it as is truths and promises. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I know that He will fulfill His promises for each one of us. And we have to believe that. Are there no more handouts? Oh, they're right there. Sorry about that. And if you don't mind just taking those to the back, would you mind just take that? Would be such a blessing. Thank you. And then in Proverbs, it says, by wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, the rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Guys, treasures are your cast members. They're the relationships that we forge in those four walls. I have said this to my kids over and over and over again. You don't know what goes on in someone's four walls. Only you know what goes on. Only I know, and the Lord knows what goes on. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the wicked and the good. He knows what I'm building and shooting for. And He is there to help us. So I want to help you today to cast a vision, okay? A vision is something that I've got the ability to think or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. I don't want you to cultivate a vision that I had for my family. I want to help you see pockets of areas that you need to give it some thought, some prayer, because every vision takes a visionary, takes somebody that's going to set that vision in motion. And that, ladies, is each one of you today. You are going to, hopefully, I pray you will take this stuff home and ponder it and wrestle with it and figure out where you can just add a little things, tweak things. And I'm really hoping that as we go through each one of these, of course, anyone that knows me knows I love my pearls. And so when I cast a vision, it's going to be with pearls. And so we're going to look at the pearls that I thought were important. So all we're going to do today is try to cultivate. And cultivate, guys, is to promote, improve, or foster growth. You are trying to help your cast members, that your husband, your kids, anybody that happens to come in your home, you're trying to help them reach their full potential. And what is their full potential? It's in Christ. We are raising disciples. We are raising the next generation. And listen, if you think you're just raising your kids, forget it. You're raising your kids, 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 kids. I had the sweetest thing. My son brought home a girl this summer that I fell in love with, as did my other girls, and they're not dating. But I have loved seeing that he would be sweet Cameron. But her grandfather died. And oh my goodness, they did the eulogy on a videotape. And I listened to Ben Rector, Extraordinary Magic, And I told Cameron, when I hear that song, I think of you and Sally. That's my oldest daughter. And Gracie said, well, great, thanks. That's really nice about me. I said, well, you haven't arrived yet, but you're getting there. But I mean, Cameron is extraordinary magic. And it is because of her grandfather. And I could see that just in every one of the grandkids and his children went in a room and recorded their own little thing about the grandfather. And oh my goodness, we have a job to do, ladies. We have a job to do. We are creating a legacy. So I don't want us to, you know, to just not take that for granted. So I thought this week, I thought, you know, the world, what does the world tell us? The world tells us our homes need to be better and bigger and bolder. But that is not what it is. When you look at a bullseye, when you look at a target, it's smaller and simpler and sweeter. And as I've always said, love grows best in small houses. Understand what I'm saying about that. That target is sweet and small. And so I don't want us to miss that. So we're going to talk about physically, emotionally, relationally, logistically, and spiritually. How do we incorporate those into our home? And so guys, if you have something that your family did really good in this area, would y'all raise your hands? Because, you know, I don't expect y'all to sit here and write every single thing down. I put my number on there. Call me. I can email you these notes that I have. I can help you process through. Let's come up with something. Or while I'm cleaning your teeth, we can talk about it. I've got a patient in here. Yay. And believe me, she gets an earful every time I clean her teeth. Sorry. But that's just the way I roll. So physically, physically joy and our peace and joy filled. So Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest for my soul. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Guys, he longs to teach us because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's in Matthew. So this home, when you think about a physically peace and joy-filled home, this is an inviting. This is where your kids come in and they kick their shoes off and they know what to expect. I mean, it is inviting. And I think it appeals to the five senses. So put down there sight, smell, taste, sound, and touch. And we're going to kind of kick around some things. So we're remembering it small, and we want to make it special because I think love grows best in small houses. I just think it's easiest. It's not that you can't have a big house and not grow love in it. Don't hear that lie. But I'm just saying, for me, it made it easier. I am a perfectionist, and I like order and orderly things. And I think that made it easier for me. Everything has a home. And I used to think it had to be hospital clean, but now I've adopted the reasonably clean. I'll spray a little Clorox clean up in the sink, so I kind of smell that Clorox smell. But I know you ladies are all clean, and y'all use scentless stuff. So don't throw things at me. Don't throw bananas at me. No, but okay, so it's order. So I think you evaluate everything in your home as a burden or a blessing. You really look at things. I will take things in my, and I will look at them and go, is this a burden or a blessing? If it's a burden, I've got a trash bag. I put it in. I take it to Goodwill. I'm sure it's a blessing to somebody else. If it's a blessing, I find a home for it. Okay? I think when my kids have birthday parties or Christmas, we always purged before we had birthday parties or Christmas because it just made it easier. When I brought 15 gifts home, I mean, I don't know about you, but has anybody in here overeaten ever? How do you feel? Stuffed. Miserable. And that's how I've talked to your homes, and that's how they feel too. So let it go. Let go. Anyone that's been in my house knows I love colors. The little lady that sews stuff for me, she always looks at me like this look like, you're really going to put those fabrics together? And I said, yes, I am, with covered buttons, and I'm going to do this. But she always says, oh my gosh, I never thought that would go. I like colorful. We have solid couches. We changed the pillows. My mom died when she said, I just painted my bedroom. She goes, what color? I'm going, jingle bells. She goes, you did not paint it red. I go, yes, I did. So I just loved colorful rooms. We've kind of edged back into white, but I love color. I love for my kids to walk in and just feel, you know, a happy thing. So that was a big deal to me. Old pictures are a big deal to me. I love to walk around my house and look at old pictures that my kids, when they were, you know, I brought a few things that, you know, I'd love for y'all at some point to come up and look at. But I just have these pictures for my kids from years ago. And I love walking around. It's a reminder of God's faithfulness to me. So for sight, that is a big deal to me. Post-it notes. Put post-it notes all around. I know Allison Treadaway has put, you know, save some for Marshall. You know, that's one thing. I think it's a reminder. If you see a post-it note somewhere stuck in your house, let that be a reminder to go hug your child, to go, you know, play with their hair, touch them. I mean, just do something. Those post-it notes are nice little reminders. I had a lady come and paint scripture. When I was first becoming a believer, I wanted to memorize scripture. So I had a lady come and paint a bunch of scriptures on the door frames of my houses, of my house. I only have one and it's small. But it's, and also motivating and encouraging rooms, motivating and encouraging words. I went to Hobby Lobby or Marshall's and bought "Be kind, be loving, be you." I spray painted it black. I'm not that creative. And I just hot glued it on the wall. And then I put all our birthday announcements or whatever we had, you know, going on some cork board. And maybe, guys, that was just a reminder for me. I don't know. I need to be kind, be loving, and be, you know, you need those reminders. We have "Return with Honor" by our front door. We use sign language a lot. This was our symbol. You know, when I would go to pick my kids up at school and I'd get to the top of the hill at Highlander, I'd put my 103 and I'd be doing this. And, you know, right as they were walking out. And you know, those things were important. When I was sending my daughter off somewhere, I could, you know, put that sign up and she knew that I loved her. My face told a story. It said, "I love you. I miss you." Use that too when you go pick your kids up at Sunday school. Be the one that's, you know, acting like an idiot. Don't be the one that's talking, "Oh yeah, well, we can meet for lunch." No, be in tune with your kids. They love that about you. I promise. Notes in lunchbox. The love bite. You know, a friend of mine, her mom, I know some of y'all have heard these stories, but just let it be a reminder. The love bite. Her mom, she took a box of chocolates to her mom. It was my mentor mom that lived across the street from me, and I ended up being a friend with her daughter. And she took this box of chocolates, and her mom opened it up, and it had a little heart in there. It said, "The love bite." And I said, "What's that?" And she said, "Oh, my mom, every lunch, I would open my lunch, and she would have taken a bite out of my sandwich." And she said, one day I asked her, "Mom, why are you always eating my sandwich?" And she said, "That's the love bite. I was praying for you." Well, I did the love bite until I got to a size 12, and then I was like, "I'm done with the love bite. I prayed for you today." So, the love bite. Make something that's special and unique to your home. And just let your light shine up when you see them. Smells. I love this one. I love candles. And yes, now I have a diffuser. I know candles aren't good for you, but I still love candles. Cookies. My kids could walk in and the little nanny that I worked one or two days a week as my kids were growing up. And so we had a nanny named Jojo. And Jojo made the best chicken on the stove that you could ever taste. And my kids would walk in the house, "Oh, Jojo's chicken." And they'd walk over and then there went our dinner. Because that right from the thing, they loved it. Glamorous Wash from Tyler Candle Company. Goodness gracious, that smells good. I wash every blanket in our house, everything, towels, whatever, when I have it. And when I don't, I use Bounce sheets or whatever. But I always make sure our laundry smells good. I'm an ironer, and I iron everything. My kids love nothing more to climb in their beds when they're fluffy and good, and they've been washed, and they're ironed, and it's a little bit of a security. The one secret I really have for all you clean, organic mamas, baby magic. This stayed. I had to search for this. I would keep this in my diaper bag, and every time I took my kids to Sunday school, I in their hair, on their arms, and it is magic because every time I went to pick up my kids, the workers were holding my kids. They smelled good. So I'm telling you, it is magic. So this is really a sweet story because, now let me tell you where you find baby magic. They don't sell it at Target. And if you go to Walmart, which is where I bought it, and it's way in the back corner on the bottom shelf. But dig, it's worth digging deep if you're not, you know, kind of, I don't know. My kids have had all these chemicals on them, but they sure did smell good. So baby magic. But here's the sweet thing. I went to college. My college daughter, Grace, was super homesick. And I walked in her room after, you know, she had kind of gotten through the homesick thing. And I noticed she had Johnson's baby lotion on her nightstand. And I said, what is that there for? And she goes, oh, Mom, I was really homesick and I really wanted just to smell like home and stuff. And I go, Gracie, we didn't use Johnson's. So I, you know, went straight to HEB or wherever I was there. I got her some Baby Magic. And now her and her roommate, that's all they put on is Baby Magic. So I hope it's magic for them too. Sound. That was smell. So taste, I mean, anything, guys, on taste. What do your kids like? My kids love fried chicken on their birthday, which is only on their birthday because it's hard to make that. M&Ms in the drawer, in the glass little container by the couch. Cookies. Y'all have heard my secret about cookies. Go to Sam's, get the big tub. You know, put them out on your pan. Really haphazardly undercook them so that you don't want them to look perfect. And then everybody thinks, I mean, Blaine brought a friend home and he was from Mexico and he was in a boarding school his whole high school. And so they walked in unexpectedly and I was like, oh my gosh, walked by the oven, turned on the oven. 10 minutes later, I had homemade cookies. And Aaron said, oh, Miss Hale, I've never had a homemade cookie. He ate like 10. I said, and you still haven't, but I didn't tell him that. I don't want anybody to know my secret. So sound, worship music. Guys, surround yourself with worship music. Let our words, choose our words wisely too. Our words, there's nothing like the sound. And I don't know if y'all, I'm not telling her that I said this, but Becky Mosley, I see a lot of y'all. If you befriend me on Facebook, I love watching y'all's little things. But one day she had her little son Joshua and she was just whispering, Joshua, and he was asleep and he was just smiling. And that makes me so happy because that's what your kids, they love your voice. They love listening to you. It's the only time you really might be able to sing unless you're Callie Nixon. I mean, and they really love it. They count on it. But I would just say, let me tell you something. The words that you speak to your children today are going to be their inner voice forever. It really is. And so choose those words wisely. Speak life to your kids. Scripture is life-giving. I had a sweet boomerang moment. Gracie came home this weekend, and so she and my husband was sick. And so she and I just went out to dinner, and we're sitting across the table, and she goes, Mom, I have a testimony. I go, what? So all through Callaway and through A&M went the stomach virus. And Gracie, I got this frantic, all caps, pray for me. Katie's throwing up. Pray for me. Gabby's throwing up. And so she goes, Mom, I don't know where to go. That was her roommate. And I was like, honey, well, go get a hotel. Just go get a hotel. And I'll drive down there. I mean, what can I do to help you? She goes, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, evidently, her friends, she wears a bracelet that says the Lord will take care of me. And her friends have seen that bracelet. And so one of the girls calligraphied, a friend that lives on the third floor, calligraphied, the Lord will take care of you. Another friend, a guy, went and got a blow up mattress and they blew it up in 331 in the girl's room. And they made her little pallet and made her, got her all situated. And so she said, Mom, I didn't really think about it. And then I was in, one morning I got up and I heard my roommate getting up to go study, do her Bible study. And so I thought, I just need to get up and go do my Bible study. And she said, I went and I opened my Bible to Hosea 11:4. And I'm trying to memorize this right now, but it says, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Her friends, she saw the Lord's human kindness all around her, trying to love on her and trying to pray for her. That's one thing, you know, Gracie struggles with OCD and everything, every struggle that my kids have, I'm like, own it. Don't be afraid to tell people. And because she was so honest, they were able to love her through that. And the Lord really put on their hearts to minister to her. So it was super sweet. And I just say, brick by brick, ladies, we are building a fortress around our kids' hearts and their minds. I mean, this week I heard moms in Bible study wanting, you know, prayer over pornography. And I mean, it's getting worse. It is getting worse. And so I'm just going to tell you, I want your message to your kids to be, you are a gift. You are special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are blessed that you're a part of our family. In Proverbs 25:11, it said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Think about that. A word fitly spoken. We have the words. The Lord's put so many words in here that we can use to love our kids. Okay, so I want, oh, and then touch. So just gentle touch, kind touch, talk about that. You know, there's nothing like when your kids are studying at the, you know, at the table or whatever, go up behind them and play with their hair. You know, my son, he loves his back scratched. Gracie loves her back tickled. There's nothing like walking in the morning and just scratch. Well, I can't. I'd still do it if he's home. But I mean, if I like lay on the bed with Gracie, she'll always go, or sit even on the couch, she'll go, tickle my arm, tickle my back. Tickle my back. So that was her thing. I know Sally was babysitting one night, and this little boy said, will you scratch my back? And she said, sure. And then he looked at her. He said, open it. He wanted her to go under his shirt. It was cute. So she has a lot of funny stories. But anyways, when my kids used to go to bed, I used to draw their face, and I used to talk about each feature that they had and where it came from, like they got their nose from my dad. And so just different features. And they love that. They remember that. So, I mean, does anybody have something on this topic of physically that just jumps out at your mind that maybe your mom or dad did? Please. I love it. Oh, thank you. So she put, her mother would put makeup on her face, pretend. And that's so sweet. I mean, it's just an opportunity for you to, you know, think about just touching their face. That's just so sweet and tender. What of anybody else? Anybody else do anything right now with your kids that you think is physically, that you think this has really been good? Come on, ladies. Don't be shy. Yes, jump up. I love it. It's the wall of fame. I love it. And you've made that, you know, my son, he likes golf. And so if you come up to his room, there is putting green carpet in his bedroom. Do I want that? And then I would come home and he had gotten some, you know, stick things and there's Masters flags. And I'm like, oh, well, one day I'll change it, but I haven't done it yet. And I could hear him up there when he was supposed to be taking a shower and he'd be putting on that and be hitting the wall, whatever. It's still like that. So anybody else? Okay, yes.
So after I give my kids bath, I will massage them and then I'll pray over their head.
Oh, that's
God's face shine on them on their face and then they then listen to God's word and speak the encouraging word on their hands and then
that's so sweet. And that's a good thing just to go with, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I mean, just go down. I used to do that when I felt after I had my son and I just had been working out and I was working out on a treadmill and I looked over and my OBGYN was there. I was like, did you have to put him here, you know, just because I was all about me? And then it was like, I've given you this blessing. So then I started going home and just thinking about each thing and, you know, my eyes. Thank you, Lord, for my eyes that I can see. Thank you for this stomach that I had kids, you know, I mean, so it just kind of, you went through the whole, thank you for this nose so that I can smell baby magic. I don't know. Anyways, but no, that is awesome to pray. And that's so sweet. And they will remember that. I'm telling you guys, the efforts that you make, they will remember that. Okay, so the next one is emotionally peace and joy filled. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. So guys, this to me is all about the heart. This is about being a safe home. Now, I don't, you know, we just read a book and it was a good book and it talked a lot about safe home. And I think I really prefer, one of these words might stick out to you and write that down, predictable, consistent, or dependable. I personally really like my home to be predictable. Okay. And that just means I always wanted to be a parent that my kids could count on. That whatever I brought, whatever they brought to me, that my responses were not going to stem from reactions. Now, they did sometimes, and it didn't go well. They more were predictable, and they could, you know, kind of see. I think this is a part of loving your kids unconditionally, and it's more about the way you make them feel, maybe a sense of being supported. So whatever kind of speaks to you, kind of write that down. I think in this home, when it's an emotionally peace and joy filled, yelling is never the rule. It is a rare exception. And I want you to hear that. It's never the rule. And when you are asking the Holy Spirit, I struggle with anger. I struggle with frustration. Help me. Call me out on it, Lord. The Lord's faithful and he will convict your heart. And when he convicts your heart and you, there's a remorse, you need to be sorry. And then there's an act of repentance. You need to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And your repentance is saying, I'm turning back in the way of the Lord. Okay? So you need to really do that. I say the tone is down. Unless you're having a dance party, which we had a lot of those. And then the tone is up. But I say the tone is really down in your home. I've really got more response from my kids when I whispered than when I yelled. And so just remind you to keep your tone. If you want to communicate to your kids, say something like this. Hey, guys. We're not going to treat each other that way. They will listen to you more when your tone is down because they have to listen more intently. Discipline to me, guys, as much as I've dove into discipline to me is much more about the delivery than it ever is about the behavior. I think it's much more impactful how we deliver it because I will tell you there are no surprises in consistent discipline. Nobody's surprised. I love the quote, and I say it all the time, it's not the severity of the consequence that will change a behavior. It is the certainty. There are no surprises in consistent discipline. They know who you want to be, and when your behavior is not consistent with that, they have the freedom to call you out. And I think when your kids get a little bit older, even at 3, they will say, Mommy, you yelled at me. And when you think about it, you're thinking, oh, my heart is cloudy. That was our tip off. It sounds like you have a cloudy heart. It sounds like, So that was our opportunity to right the wrong. I think this home, an emotionally peace and joy-filled home, is motivating, cheerful, and energizing. I think we've got to send the message with our kids, it's okay to fail. It is okay to fail. That is how we grow, is from our mistakes. And I'm telling you right now, we will not be good at, your kids are not going to be good at everything, and not everybody is going to like them. I hate to disappoint you, but the last group you want to encourage your kids to be a part of is the popular group. And I'm just telling you, I was okay with my kids not being in the popular group. God's got something in store for them, and I'm telling you, there's not a lot of good happening in the popular group. I'll just put that out there. Your worth that you need to communicate to your kids is so much more than accomplishments. It is so much more than that, or how we excel. You know, the parents that drive around with my kid is a straight A student, and that's great. But I just think we've got to have that eternal perspective. We really do. We want to raise our kids for significance, not success. And that has just got to be our thing. Because it, really, guys, their story is just that, their story. And so we've really got to be mindful of that. Be available to talk and be open to talk with your kids about any and everything. Be a safe place to come. And listen with your eyes. I remember when my kids were at Highlander in sixth grade, the sixth grade teacher, Miss Gillum, would always bring all the sixth grade parents in the room, and she would always sit everybody down. She'd say, okay, your kids are going to, there's going to be a lot of drama in sixth grade. And here's how you're supposed to listen, and here's how you're supposed to respond. So you're supposed to listen, and you're supposed to respond with, really? Oh, wow. My. Whoa. She made us all sit there and practice. So we had a whole room of sixth grade parents. Wow. Oh. She said, don't offer advice. Let them talk. Ask questions. Get to the bottom of things, you know? And I had a friend that was saying that same thing. She used to ask her kids a lot of questions like, you know, at the breakfast table, who can you be a friend to today? Who can you, you know, really minister to? Who can you help? Who do you see in your class that needs a friend? How can you be that friend? And so really ask those questions. Spur your kids on. You can do that. And don't dismiss their feelings. When you see your child's angry, call it like it is. I can see you're angry. you know, but we're not going to do this. You know, one of my patients yesterday was talking about, she is a teacher, and she said she goes to some school. I don't know whether she goes there to work, but they have like a ball with all this glitter in it. And they use this ball to show the kids that when the glitter is flying around, there's, okay, you're shaking your head, so you must know where the school is. Yeah, and so, yeah, so, I mean, and they say it really does calm them. Like, you have the glitter, and it's going around, and you're like, you know what? I can't help you until all the glitter settles. And so their hearts kind of get calmer, because when all the glitter, if they sit there for long enough and they see all the glitter go down, then you can communicate with them. Yeah, they were just, hey, this is a spaghetti. We're just throwing it out there to see what y'all think. So I say, you know, call them, really identify, validate, and have empathy with their feelings. And then give them appropriate ways to express it. I think mornings, you got to think about, you know, your day. And morning efforts are really made to make things like a sweet time. I think when you wake your kids up, if you're like boxed in a corner and you bust out of bed at 8:30 and you've got to be out the door at 8:45, your day is not going to go well, and neither is theirs. So really think about, and we'll talk about that when we talk about logistics, but someday Ellie Howarth called me the other day at 3 o'clock and I said, I'm still in my pajamas. I'm having a pajama day. She said, good for you. I said, I got to go get dressed. But anyways, so there's still those days where you just kind of, and I used to love those days with my kids when we would just have pajama days. So fill up their emotional tanks early. We used to really just get my kids out of bed. I would, and I would tickle their back and sit in the gliding rocker, and we would read books, or I'd do some things like that. I used to crack eggs on their head and stuff. I mean, fun, just kind of do that on their heads and do this little crisscross applesauce thing. But I used to do things, and it was so, my day went so much better when I spent that 15 minutes of good emotional filling, you know, filling up their emotional tanks. Have fun. Be silly at times and playful. Don't, you know, we always want to think about discipline and firm, fair, and follow through. But guys, if you're missing the element of fun, I will say don't take it too far. My oldest daughter was home the other day, and I was asking her kind of what, you know, what her dad and I did well. And she goes, I said, is there anything? And she goes, I go, what about that time I grabbed your legs? One night, they scared me when I was coming in the back door. And so to get her them back, her dad was going to go read a book to her. And she was probably in second or third grade, and I crawled up under her bed, and when she went to go get in bed, I grabbed her legs. She goes, Mom, that was so traumatic. She goes, last night I knew you and Dad were downstairs, but I still ran and leaped into bed. I go, what? I go, oh my gosh, I want to see that. So I was telling my son that, and he goes, I want to see that, Sally leaping into bed. But she said, I still, wherever I am, I think about you being under the bed. I go, sorry. You know, so one fun thing was, you know, when Sally started going, you know, going to the, like being potty trained, anytime she would go to the bathroom in the potty, we would go get pans and wooden spoons, and we would go, Sassy, win a TT. Her nickname was Sassy, win a TT potty. And we would just march all around. We had a very small townhouse at the time. And then we did it with Blaine, and then we did it with Grace. And I think just things like that, I know another mom that she'll say, last TT of the night, last TT of the night, and she'll march her kids into the bathroom, and they all want to do it because it's fun. I hear moms that are going, oh, you know, my kids won't go to the bathroom before they get in bed. But if you make it fun and something that's unique to their family, you will be amazed what you can get out of your kids. Be committed. All three of my kids said family dinners is a huge, huge thing. And so be super committed to that. And I'm going to have to speed things up a little bit. So be committed to that. High, low, table topics. Gracie said to me, she goes, Mom, I love when we have people over. We just didn't do it enough. So that was a huge, because you and Dad are so hospitable. But you know what? I wasn't raised with having a lot of people over. And I kind of always had the motto, yeah, some people have the motto, they want to be the house all the kids want to come to. I wanted to be the house my kids wanted to come to. So I wish I had done more of that, because we had a super fun Christmas and we were real intentional of that, and it was good. Bedtime and bath times. We were big massage people. I always massaged my kids after their bath, and just would, and I would put lotion on the baby magic on their back, and then I would write things in it. Like when they couldn't really spell, I would do I, and then do love, and then do you. And so the minute I did I, they'd go, I love you. You know, they'd always try to guess what I was writing on their back. So it was just a fun way. Whisper sweet nothings in their ear when they're in bed. Say, you know, how did I get so lucky to get you? Just things like that. Repetition is a good thing. Kids love repetition. My kids would go grab the same book every night. And so just, we did, one, my kids, they loved The Lion's Den. Don't ask me what it was. We would take, my husband would take arms, I would take legs or vice versa. And we would say, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And we would throw them into bed. And they love that. And we have it on video camera and they love home movies and love watching that. Gracie said she's thankful for home movies because she's not in any of them. And she said, I'm sure y'all did these same things with me. So, be mindful, take in the sights all day long, because when you're taking in the sights of what's going on and you recount them when you're going to bed, it gives you insight on where you need to work harder. So emotionally, just be predictable. I think that is really sums that up the best. I'm going to go through, and then if you've got some things, make a little note and we'll come back to it. Relationally, peace and joy filled. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight, like Elizabeth Tamlin said today, in honoring each other. The longest relationship your kids will ever have is their siblings, if they have a sibling. You and your husband will go, everybody's going to go. So we've got to take the opportunity to teach them. And I did that whole talk on sibling harmony. I would go back and listen to it. There's a lot of wisdom that I've just, over the years, I've seen in other families, how they've orchestrated. And so we are teaching them so many life skills, how to share, how to, you know, work together as a team, how to, you know, and it's got to be a we mentality. You are a team. We've got to show them that it's important. Respect runs in all directions. Husband to wife, wife to husband, child to parent, parent to child. We need to out-respect our children. Out yes, ma'am, out no, sir, them, out everything you can to respect them. When you think about the core of the family being the cast members, the relationship, think about a heart attack. When there's blockage in one artery, you die. You know, you don't have help. So we've got to clear out all those arteries, all those things. Zero tolerance for disrespect. I always had zero tolerance. We had rules in our house that was everybody played, and we stood firm with those. So we always... I think the goal with our kids in the beginning is kindness and civility, but you pray that, that what will follow is closeness. And for me, that's been super sweet. I thought relationships with siblings started from hospital to high school. And I did everything I could to you know, I put the little picture in the bassinet, and I, when my kids ran up to the window, they could see that that was their baby. They went with me to every doctor's appointment, and yes, it was hard, but when they were home and not in school, Sally was in school when Gracie was born, but every time they felt like that was their baby. And so I think when you start that relationship early, and conflict is inevitable, your kids are going to bicker, they're going to fight, and so you've got to face it head on and not neglect it or hide it. You know what? We're not going anywhere because, you know, y'all are not being kind and loving toward one another, and so we're going to close it down. You teach your kids. My son, in an article that I said in a Golf Oklahoma a magazine, he has gotten his brothers at the golf team at OU, and he said in the article, we're a team. We fight for each other, not against each other. And I was like, I wonder where he heard that. But that's what he's still today with his relationships with his brothers on the team. That's how he's, you know, enlist and empower. Melina DuPont, she might be in here. Anyways, I saw a sweet picture she posted about Breck, her son, loving on Asher. And I've been meaning to call her and say, oh my gosh, I would print that just like this, big as I could. And every day I'd be going, oh, Asher, he's, you know, young, he's a baby. Look how Breck is loving on you. So Asher could hear. I would beat that to a dead horse. Take pictures that you have and remind your kids how they love each other and how they, God made, designed your family the way it did for Blaine to be the big brother. He is so super sweet with Gracie. It's crazy. We did sandwich kisses when there was kind of, we'd say, oh, it's time for a sandwich kiss. And I'd get on one side, the kids would get on one side and we kissed. So enlist and empower, everybody plays, Everybody pulls together. If your house just stinks, I mean, with just, you know, relationships, have a dance party. Turn the music on loud. Dance around. It's fun. Do fun things in your car. When my kids, when they had good manners or they did something and we're driving, I would honk the horn and say, roll down the window and say, Gracie, you know, has good manners. Or, I mean, son, my kids just never knew what to expect with me. But I would play freeze out going to school, turn the air conditioner on full blast. They'd laugh, you know, and it was freezing outside. I mean, just something to be different and unique, to have fun. You know, you want to do that. We always open gifts for Christmas one at a time. And sometimes we would have our kids tell about the giver and not the gift, like what you love about the giver. Anything you can do, have kids pick out the gifts for their siblings for birthdays or something. Let them take them and let them pick out. Role play. Use your imagination. Be committed to traditions. We always went to family camp. We went to the state fair every year. It was a non-negotiable. I remember when my daughter was 13, she didn't want to go with us. She was going to go with her friends. And I said, sorry, you're going. We're going as a family. And she did this the whole way there. And we got to the Crazy Mouse and her dad got on it and they took a picture. And I said, I'll take two of those. And I mean, she was laughing and loving it. And so if we listen to our kids and let them decide, then, you know, it can, nope, we're having family time. It's family night. My daughter, my Gracie, will not miss a family dinner. I mean, if she thinks for 1 minute we're all eating together or Blaine is home, she saw a picture and thought we went up to, we always go up to our kids, usually on their birthday if we're in town, and she thought we went to Norman, and she was like, are y'all in Norman? Because she saw a picture that we posted, and we weren't, but she thought we were. So she was like thinking she was missing out. I was talking to a patient yesterday, and he said that his dad used to always say when he would tie, his dad would tie a knot, he would say, Dad, where did you learn that? And he'd say, oh, I lived with the Shelk Indians for 2 years. And so everything he did, and he really didn't, but his son was like, really? And so, you know, it's just, you've got to be creative. You've got to be creative. So logistically, when you think about your homes logistically, the detailed coordination of a complex organization involving many people, facilities, or supplies, guys, that is the home. That is the family. There's a lot of logistics that go on. And who is the keeper of the calendar? I mean, my son asked me one day, he goes, Mom, I don't even know, but I mean, I'm not good at basketball. And I said, and do you wonder why? Every time in November when that form came home, I filed it right in the trash can. I was like, we are not adding anything in November and December. And so I said, I'm sorry. I hope you learned to dribble or something. I mean, but he was never good in basketball. So, but we did all the other sports. So I didn't really, you know, but I'm telling you, we have control. You know, it's always nice to, you know, schedule naps and be, you know, committed. But sometimes, ladies, you get derailed. Your best efforts get derailed. And so roll with the punches. Detours are not always bad. Do your best to kind of figure out what's good for your family. Write down everything you do. Meeting friends for dinner. You know, all the things that you do. Write it down and then look at, take two steps back and look at it objectively and say, okay, how did this emotionally and physically impact my family? And was it for the good? It is important to critically evaluate your day timer and ask yourself, is it reasonable? You really need to be checking that. And then prioritize all your commitments. Think about, you will get done what your priority is. Because let me tell you, as your kids get older, more commitments come and more depending upon their age. And it can get, you have a lot of time in your car. If you've ever been to Office Depot, you've been in my car. Because I had a dyslexic son, I had three different schools, and let me tell you, my kids know I like the sharp, fuzzy pencils, and every day I would go to the pencil sharpener and sharpen my pencils, and I had highlighters and glue and scissors in my car with you and snacks. We had a snack thing. When my kids got in the car, I knew we were going to be spending a lot of time in the car. And let me tell you, my greatest blessing was my Bible and my BSF. And I got a lot of stuff done. So carry that with you. But my car time, we did not use it to play handheld devices or watch TV or do all those things. We were busy. We were learning poems for Highlander, and I always kept them up above my visor. We were learning spelling words. That's a captive audience. Don't miss out on it. Even if you're just listening about their day or just pouring into them, it's super fun. I never wanted hurry up to be the thing that my kids are, hurry up, get your shoes, hurry up. I mean, remember, everything had a home. And so if my kids were late for soccer or you know, practice, they owed their coach and their team an apology. That's disrespectful. And so we were really mindful of what we were scheduling up. I thought this was super cute. So chores, I was terrible about that. I did not give my kids, I mean, my kids are so responsible, but they are not good at cleaning toilets and all that. And I just felt like there was a priority, and I didn't prioritize chores. I wish I had done a better job of that. I think it's super important to have your kids make the bed or have your kids do things. We always did, they always cleaned up, and we did 10-minute tidies and stuff like that. But as far as getting on the floor and scrubbing and doing, I was that cast member. But anyways, I would say to you, really, there's ways to like clear the table and, you know, have popsicle sticks with flowers on top and everybody picks one out and does that chore. Have a chore magnet and you like make your bed. You move it over here. Pictures, even for older children, is really good, I've heard. I don't know that, but I've heard it's good. I just think that it's really important. So my boss, I've been with the same dentist for 33 years, she was telling me that her kids always had to dress up and interview for chores. And the dad would sit across from them and say, and she said, Mitch, her one son, was like, I think I should take care of Max because I like dogs and I'm not offended by the smell of poop. So, and she said they would have to dress up and have to interview for the job, which I thought was super cute. And they have super great kids. They're all like, you know, doctors, whatever. So, but maybe that's where I messed up. Anyway, so I think that's good. Paper flowers. Spiritually peaceful. Let's go on to that. You know, and one thing I would do a lot is we always listen to the Donut Man, and there was a song in there. I want to be a helper, be there when my mom needs me. So if I wanted to get them motivated, I could just say, come on, guys, I want to be a helper. And so I could motivate them a lot by music. And so think of things that you can motivate your kids by. Okay, spiritually peace and joy-filled, because I don't want to miss this. And I'd like to have us a little bit of time. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Guys, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. And I pray that's the book for you. You won't be able to do this mom job without this book. I'm just telling you. This is your hard copy. Get it. I mean, I would say leave your Bible at home. There's nothing that warms my spirit more than to see a young mom in church with their Bible and kind of look at me and like smile. Because I'm telling you, this is where it's at. This is going to, you're not going to be able to do it alone. You're not. I mean, even with the help of your spouse, with your crack cast members, with all your cast members, you're not going to be able to, you need Jesus. So keep your Bible out and open. I would open my Bible during the day. There's so many times, guys, that I think of a scripture and I don't know the address, but I can see it in my Bible. I can see it. It's in the upper right-hand corner on the, you know, on the far side. I can see where it is because I've seen it. I've put it in my heart. I may not know the address, but I kind of know where it is. Put your battle dress on. Every day, guys, put on Christ. Romans 13:14. Clothe yourself. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Colossians 3:12. Disconnect and connect. You need truth. Stop drifting along like this and start digging in deep. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Find a mentor mom. If you don't have the phone number of a mentor mom, get it. Get it. A lot of people call me and bug me. I put my number on the top. Call and bug me. I don't care. Keep bugging me. You're not really bugging me. I'm telling you. I will call you back. I try to be prompt and I try to be responsive. But if I don't call you back, don't take it personal. Keep calling me. Text me. Bug me. Get the phone number of somebody in this room walking in the life stage where you are. That was my greatest blessing in birthing class. I got the phone number of Patty. And Patty and I were like, do you have the worst mom award or do I have it today? I need it back. You know, we just did fun things because there were times, nursing and all that. I mean, I didn't know how to do that. People would say, you know, you get so sore and all that stuff. And I would call her and go, it's lunchtime. And she'd go, oh, I know. You know, she'd walk me through it. I mean, we spurred each other on and not necessarily biblically at the time because I was just a new believer. But really, we need to help our kids associate relationships, just like Gracie called me back. When a long time ago, Sally said to me years ago, she said, "Mom, I want your Bible someday." And Gracie said, "Well, I want your ring." Well, the other day we were in church and Gracie was here and Sally was here and Gracie's leaned over and she said, "Can I see your Bible?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "Don't get used to it. It's Sally's." She said, "No, I'm stealing it. No, I am getting your Bible." So it's just funny to see how your kids, that's sweet music to my ears, Lord, that they know. I'm saying to the Lord, "Thank you. I just love that my kids know that it is a treasure to me." And I pray that for you girls too. Okay, God's design is order, authority, respect your husbands. Teachable moments are everywhere. List all the things take a note card, list all the things you want to teach your kids. Put a mirror on the other side and be that person. Be that person. I used to do that in my daughter's Bible study in fourth grade. I had them list all the things they wanted in a friend, and then I'd say to them, "Look in the mirror, be that person, and that's who you'll attract." Truth is life-giving. His words speak louder. Extend grace. Like I said, you know, in our homes, guys, we need a little bit of pixie dust and a lot of grace. I would say remember God's value system. And then also your priorities will happen. I remember when Sally was in Awana's and I would walk out to the car every day, every Wednesday, going to Awana's and I'd go, "Oh my gosh, where's your book? Grab your book. Oh my gosh, what scripture are we supposed to be learning?" And we would all the way down Forest and all the way down Preston, we would be struggling about it. And then one day I was like, "Stop the insanity." We were walking to the car to go home and I said, "Sass, give me your book." And we started learning verses and I kept that book above the visor and I heard kids walking down the hall, "I want to be in the blue book. Sally's already in the blue book." And it was because I changed. I changed how we started learning scripture. Teach your kids early. The one thing you need to teach them first and foremost, Jesus loves me. You know, ask a mom to say that. Jesus loves me. No, Jesus loves me and he loves you too and he loves your kids. Jesus loves me. I know that. And he loves each one of y'all too. The last thing I want to leave with is grow in wisdom. Okay? Keep growing. Keep growing. So, you know, Walt Disney had a vision. Well, so did I. And I'm going to cry, and that's just the way it is. When I had Sally, I had a dream one night. And I got up and I typed it on this card. This is a typewriter, girls, if you don't know what that is. And here's my vision. Let me not take for granted the fact that you have put me in charge of a beautiful, wonderful, and most importantly, healthy little girl. Full of love and energy, you have blessed me. Help me to make my home a refueling station. Help me to build up my children so high that no person can chisel away this foundation of self-esteem and self-love. Help me create in my home a positive atmosphere or attitude. When my children need to be held, let me deny the chores, for the same chores will be there tomorrow, but my child will be a little older and a little more independent. Let me also discourage the whining and not always view it as a source of irritation, but that my child just needs a little love and affection. Guys, that was kind of my deal. And then I went later and I did a mission statement. And that's here. And as I grew in Christ, my mission statement traded to, with my life to glorify and honor my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This was like when Blaine was born, so 4 years later. To be a reflection of God's presence and attitude and spirit. To be committed to excellence, elegance, and endurance in all aspects of my life. To be grateful for all the many blessings that God has bestowed upon my life and acknowledge him daily in prayer. To unconditionally love, encourage, and serve others with a cheerful heart, to create an aroma of affection, respect, order, and merriment and affirmation in my home, to make my home a refueling station for my family and friends, and to view each day as a gift from God and to live, learn, laugh, and love in it. Guys, God is faithful. If you look at that, pearls is not spelled right. There's not an A in this pearls. I didn't do everything right. And that's not what God expects of any of us. He just wants you to be faithful because he's faithful. And so I would just tell you that as you go forward, get your arrow, go for the target, make it smaller, simpler, and sweeter. And I just pray over each one of you. So thank you. Do y'all have any questions? Because I'd love to answer anything, or if you've got like ideas. I mean, guys, this is what my hope for this was really that y'all would pour into. And I'm sorry, my time kind of got away from me. But this is something that I get super passionate about because God has been so faithful to me. And so I hope that for y'all too. So do y'all have any questions? Yes, from the floor. Okay, when my kids were little, like we had uniforms, and you know, I never bought more than one or two uniforms for my kids because I always washed them at night, and most of the time my kids got nice warm uniforms on because, you know, so when laundry was piling up, I would just, you know, maybe when your kids are little, start instilling that a little more. I think it's okay. I have one set of sheets for every bed, and I wash them, dry them, and put them right back on the bed. And so I would just, and when I'm done with them, I, you know, get rid of them, and I just go get some more. Because I just think all this stuff, you know, so I would just kind of, on the laundry front and on the dinner front, there's going to be seasons where, guys, you don't have to have this big elaborate meal. You know, cook a bunch of chicken, go do, you know, and make little, cook a bunch of noodles on a Sunday and then just grab out noodles and put chicken on it or grab out noodles and put spaghetti sauce. There's a lot of ways that you can cut corners in seasons where it's really, really tough. And I just think that you look at what's really weighing you down. And I think you find ways to be wiser and smarter about it. So if it's laundry, then you don't let your kids wear as many things. They just go and get the stuff out of the dryer. It's nice to put on warm clothes at this point. So fluff them and get them. I mean, is that helping you at all? Or what do you think? And I think when you're in that season where you can't really spend a lot of time with the Lord, let me tell you something, that's where a mentor mom or a friend really comes in handy. I know community is huge and that's a really great thing, but it's also nice to have that. You know, sometimes in community, you don't have moms walking in your same life stage. And I think that is crucial, you know, because if your son's going through this and he's, you know, 3 and you've got a 2.5 year or vice, you know, y'all are just a few months apart, they can encourage you and say, oh my gosh, my son just did that 3 months ago, and here's how I handled it. Y'all are going to be the best resources for each other. Does that help you a little bit? Okay. And I would say just really be sure, battle dress every day. Put on those, because you're in the Lord's army. Okay, who else has a question? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I would say when you don't make those deposits, and you can't, if you're not making deposits in your kid's emotional tank and in just that time and that relationship, you cannot make withdrawals in high school. And I would just tell you that right there. So, I mean, I think that just comes with fine scripture that speaks specifically to that. And then just really start praying that the Lord will, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's in Psalm. But I think when you start delighting yourself in the Lord, he sometimes changes those desires. And so you become like less, and I think less to manage. Where can you really like go around and burden and blessing it? And where can you really, you know, tighten it up so that you're not feeling that stress? And, you know, I think this is a worthy cause, what we're doing for this mission field. So I'm not asking you to take a season where you're not serving, but there's lots of different ways to serve that when you're feeling overwhelmed, who gets the brunt of that but your family, you know, your cast members. And so I think you really pray about it and you ask the Lord to speak specifically into what you're doing. And maybe not feel like it has to be like, I was always like, it has to be so clean. Always ask your husband what's a priority to him. If it's not, if the house being picked up and stuff is not a priority, but enlist your kids. I think that was my deal. Blaine would call me on the way home and we would have a 10-minute tidy and set the timer or turn on a song and we'd have to be done by the song. And it's super fun. You know, even when they're little bitty, I would say, clean up, clean up, clean. and we would freeze, and then I would start singing it again, and the kids love that because we're all running around, you're running into each other, and so that kind of gets them moving. It's amazing when you treat things with a song in your heart, how people get moving. So it's just, so really pray about that. But I think that's good. That's one of those things. We're taking the sights today, and then tonight it'll give you insight in what you need to really, like, I can trim this off or do this. Does anybody else have a question? All right, ladies. Thank you. Oh, well, thank you for entrusting me with your time. I really appreciate it. And I'm serious when I say, call me if you need anything. I'm serious. I really mean that because I think we need mentor moms. Yes?
I do have one question.
Okay, please.
My son was just diagnosed, my 7-year-old was just diagnosed with dyslexia.
Yes.
So I sometimes struggle with patience with the homework.
Yeah, I think, I think the biggest change for me was when I sat in the car and the Lord was like, okay, you're a part of his team. And so when he got in the car and he was really frustrated, I said, peanut butter. And he was like, what? And I go, jelly. We go together. And so every day I'd say, you're in charge of popcorn. I'm in charge of, you know, and I'm in charge of drinks, or I'm in charge of, you know, and I already had the table cleared off. I think, and then I could paint. Boys love visual pictures. We know that. Just throwing that out there. So, you know, tame it down on the boys. But I would say they love to know, like, okay, we're going to do 45 minutes of math, set the timer, and then we're going to go outside and throw the football or throw this. I can throw a mean spiral. And we're going to do this, and then we're going to come back in. And I really had to think through, like, what dinner looked like and what, you know, I really had to be wise about what all that looked like. Because in that moment, you know, my husband, I'd ask him to read with Blaine and he wouldn't. So I would just say, and Scottish Rite gave me the best advice of all. They said, read to your son. And so we had that together, and we would always say have to's before your want to's. He would want me to take him to golf tournaments and I'd go, hey buddy, have to's before your want to's. He goes, what do we have to do? I'm like, we have to read 2 chapters in your book. So he would run to the reading chair. We had a reading chair and we'd go around and race each other to the reading chair. So I just think, and he will tell you the best thing that ever happened to him is dyslexia. And I would agree, because it's just one of those things that if we embrace it, it is hard, but it has taught him so much about hard work, and his success on the OU golf team has really been because of his hard work. And I have a couple things up here too, if y'all want to, just scriptures. You know, I had a lady, my little lady that makes my pillows, she did all these scriptures for me. But I just think this is super important to put this around your house. I had another one too. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Isn't that a good one in Proverbs? And I had her print that. So I just have these all over my house, and every once in a while I just go switch them up. And so I would just say, you know, find verses that really empower you. And you and I can talk about that more, just kind of ways to. I had a good tutor and we went to tutoring. Don't ever be afraid to get a tutor. And I would say whenever your kids, when Gracie went through OCD, that was one thing I was really grateful for. She had a tutor and I asked her, or a therapist, and I asked her, I said, can I come with her? And she goes, well, that's up to Gracie. And she goes, oh no, I want my mom. And it was so helpful to know the verbiage and how to help her and how to, you know, I'd say, Grace, that is your OCD talking. And she'd go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, when you're working the muscle of OCD, you know, always schools want you to read to your kids, but really, I mean, they want them to read to you, but it's okay, read to them. Blaine has got the best comprehension, because we just, you know, read. Now, my girls don't have comprehension at all. So that's really struggles. So anybody else have a question? Yes.
I did have a question about, like, you said that you wrote, like, a mission statement after you had Blaine. Mm-hmm. So I'm in that cortex of, okay, I have these quiet times in the morning and I have this block time. But, like, doing anything, like, where it takes that time of in depth, because I want to write a mission statement for my family, but... Mm-hmm.
I think that's really reasonable to want to get some time where you can write something or can sit down and really, you know, but some of when in that season, some of my greatest moments, so I would show up to in carpool line. I would always have my Bible, always have my BSF with me because that's what I was doing at the time. And I would always be first in carpool line. And I would do my quiet time or BSF and I would just have my Bible right there. And I would just be in line, have that 30 minutes. So wherever you can carve out that time, you know, I would say maybe the first couple 15 minutes in a nap time or, you know, but it's amazing. You know, just like when the Lord laid that on my heart in a dream, you know, and I got up and typed that out, the Lord will speak to you. And it doesn't have to be this, you know, it's kind of like kids wanting quantity or quality. Everybody thinks they want quality time. Oh, my kids want quality time. No, they don't. They want quantity. They want to know that when they skin their knee, that they walk in. And so I would just say, you know, when you go and you your husband says, okay, honey, take an hour, go, you know, you go sit down and, oh, you get on your phone and you get distracted. And so I would just say, that's not always the time that the Lord spoke most boldly to me. Sometimes it was just in the quiet of the night. You know, when you wake up in the morning, that's where I see so many things. Like when I wake up in the morning or when I'm, you know, like when I was driving back from Lufkin and I asked Blaine, what is army fatigues? He goes like, what? I go, you know, you never know when the Lord's going to bring something to you that's profound. And, you know, then my son was like, okay, it's battle dress. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, fatigued. And it's battle dress. So I just think that, you know, just pray about that. Again, I hate to have that as my answer for y'all, but I just think there's just, I can't put a value on the importance of prayer. And I think we forget. I mean, sometimes it's just driving in the car and you're like, Lord, you know, Jill was sharing in community this morning. You know, I just said, Lord, I had a horrible week last Wednesday and I just need some guidance and some encouragement from you. And this girl comes running over from across the room and says, oh my gosh, I had to come over and give you a hug. And she knew that was the Lord putting that on this girl's heart. And she said, I just cannot tell you. I just prayed that. And the Lord will answer. And his answer is so much sweeter. You know, God's playing chess and we're playing checkers. That's all I can say. And he's answering our prayers in ways you would just never guess. So, yes. Honey, you have no idea. I mean, my kids are so sick. They're going, Mom. I'm going, oh my gosh, people. And they're going, Mom, we know people notice. You know, I mean, I don't know why. My dad's super funny, and I'm not that funny, but my dad's super funny. I just think, you know, I need one-liners. I need that. You know, when my kids are acting out, I need to say to myself when they were young and I knew they had been sick or they had been this, I knew I needed to say to myself when they hit a sibling or something, it's understandable because they're sick, but it's never acceptable because they're not treating each other. So I'd go, understandable, never acceptable. And those were just things that I would say. So I think I just came up, I think I'm going to write a book. If I could get somebody that was a good writer to write a book for me, because I kind of just, I don't know. It's just the way I hate that, but it's just the way my brain works. No, for whining, I just literally got, it would be like an Amazon Prime box now, but I literally got a box and I said, oh my goodness, my new ears just got here and I don't hear whining. I'm so excited. And so we really did have a pair of really big ears that were Ross Perot ears, but they were like for a costume. And so I was thinking, oh my gosh, my ears, and they really were sitting in the box. And so when I put them on, I said, I just can't hear whining anymore. So I think the whining is, but you cannot look at them. When they are whining and you say, you know what? Then when they run over and try to get you say, oh my gosh, please don't tell me you needed something because I couldn't hear you. My ears don't hear whining. And so when you ignore them enough and then you say, oh my gosh, I wish I'd known you needed a drink, but I don't hear whining anymore. And that's not the tone of voice that my ears hear now. I swear it works, but you gotta stay, you know, no surprises and consistent discipline. So for some reason, at some time, he or she's whined enough and you've given them what they needed or what they wanted, not needed, but wanted. Well, and I would say too, low tide moments.
and talk to your kids at night. Low tide moments, man, we beat a dead horse. And that, my friends, is called rooting and grounding. That's another thing I say a lot, because when I have to discipline over and over and over again, it was always called rooting and grounding. So I'm going to say one more thing that, you know, it's funny because my son, so at Thanksgiving, I've told a few people the story, but at Thanksgiving, he came home and he brought a friend unexpected from Australia. And we love this guy, and he calls me his American mom. And so we were so happy to see him, but I don't know, my son just came in with an edge on him. And so when we went out to dinner, and I said something about another college golfer that goes to a different school, and Blaine was like, "Mom, he is one of my best friends." I mean, his heart was so cloudy toward me, and I was like, "Wow." I mean, I was really taken back. So we went out to dinner. He said something else super snippy to me. And I was like, oh my goodness. So when we got home, I told my husband, we've got to talk to Blaine. He was so disrespectful. And so my husband couldn't wait a minute. He had to get us both upstairs. And there were a lot of tears and a lot of this. And so we had a good Thursday for Thanksgiving. We had a good Friday. We had a better Saturday. And he left on Sunday. Well, his college golf fellowship mentor went to church with us the next Sunday. And we were telling him about the story. And he goes, you know, this is the second time Blaine's done that, where he's been disrespectful. He said, you need to call him and uninvite him for Christmas. I was like, what? Uninvite him for Christmas? And he goes, yeah, I really do. So I started praying about it. And the Lord said, you need to have a conversation with him. So about a week before he was coming home, I said, hey, buddy, I was just calling you to see when you're going to be home. I said, gosh, we are so super excited to have you home. But I said, you know what happened over Thanksgiving? It broke my heart when my sister-in-law, and I told him this, it broke my heart when Amy at Thanksgiving dinner, when we went around, because we do table topics, and when it's at our house, we always have a lot of conversation. And man, my kids bring chairs in. If they're at the kid table, they bring chairs in to listen, because there's so much wisdom with my mother and father-in-law that love the Lord. And Amy said, I'm just so proud of our family. We never fight. And we were just coming off the heels of this little thing. I said, that broke my heart when Amy said that. And I couldn't say, yeah, I agree. And so I said, you know, I said, we are super excited to have you home, but that's not fair to Sally and Grace. And what happened at Thanksgiving will not happen at Christmas. And you will need to leave if you're disrespectful like that. I said, now I want to make something really clear. You know who I want to be in Christ. And if anything ever is not how you know, consistent with who you know I want to be, you have every right to call me out respectfully. But the way you did it that night was not respectful. He was like, oh, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. He came home. Oh, my goodness. I always pray when my kids are coming home that they long to be inside. I literally see their car drive up and I'm like, oh, Lord, let them long to be inside. Let their heart beat faster when they're coming down Windy Crest, when they're coming to our house. And he came inside. He was a dreamboat. In fact, my girls and I were talking about it one day, and they were like, yeah, has he been reading the Bible more? And I was like, I hope so. They had no idea that I gave him like the ultimatum. But and I told my husband, okay, honey, we're not letting what happened on Thanksgiving happen. We are going to have family nights, game nights. We're going to go to concerts. We went to go see David Phelps. We were all over the place, all over Christmas. And Blaine was right in the midst. He had friends that came in from OU. We had so much fun. But I'm just going to tell you, when you hold that standard with your kids, and, you know, I don't know what he was going through. Maybe it was understandable, but it wasn't acceptable in our home. And that this Christmas was the greatest gift that I've ever had with my family. And it was a reminder to hold true with what you want in your home and don't let go of that. Cling to it. Hold it tightly, like it talks about loving each other. And so I would just encourage y'all in that way just to hold true. Y'all go out and make it a great day. And I hope I hear lots of good stuff from you ladies. Thank y'all.